Hey, it's your boys at Brothering Around, and this show is brought to you by Audible, your favorite people in the audiobook space. You can try it for 30 days for free, audibletrial.com/brotheringaround. And hey, get yourself a free audiobook. There's over 180,000 to choose from. Go to audibletrial.com/brotheringaround. Sign up for your free trial today. And hey, keep the book forever. It's on your boys here at Brothering Around. Back at it again. Me, oh my, it's Wes Gardner, Mr. Commie to Hobo. And joining me is Mr. Marco Flores, nerd in the bay himself.
What's going on, everybody? Keeping it cozy with this super thick Asian blanket.
Yeah. So you say thick Asian blanket, like what is it? What is it made out of? Like what kind of, is it wool? Like what is it?
Dude, I have no idea, man. I can't find a tag right away, but it's like super thick and...
Yeah,
there's dolphins. There's dolphins on the design, and
yeah,
flowers on the inside.
It's like
so.
Camel hair because camels are in Asia, right?
sure,
there they are.
Why not?
It's moose hair. Great, perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
The native moose of
whatever.
Yeah, of the Philippines, all the moose.
Yeah, all the mooses we have in the Philippines, of course.
It reminds me of one of my favorite Saturday Night Live skits. Is a skit called Main Justice, and it's set up like a Judge Judy show, but then the theme song plays, and it's like, like old Dixie music, and you're like, what the fuck? And then it opens up, and the judge comes out, or it shows the defendant and stuff, and it's like, oh, he didn't pay his water bill, and the defendant says that, and it does all that stuff. But then everyone in the background has like the big fans, like the old Southern fans, like, like, what the fuck is going on? And then the judge comes out and he's dressed like Colonel Sanders. He's like meow 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 meow, like and like they talk about man. you in Maine now, boy. Like they it's completely and like the guy's looking around like what the fuck is going on right now? Like oh you in Maine, the big gators, the alligators of Maine.
Yeah,
and you're like alligators in Maine. What is this?
What?
That is a great skit. So where did you come from? It has like Jamie Foxx and he has a Jerry curl.
Yeah.
It's so good, man. One of my favorite things ever because it's so stupid, but they play it so well. Like they're all in, and I could. It's great. I think you could see it for free, like online or something. But yeah, Main Justice.
Okay, yeah, I got to look.
Hilarious. But yeah, talking about the moose in the Philippines, it's like we're globally way off the mark.
Right.
Oh man,
all the bears and stuff. Yeah.
So, this past weekend, I turned 31 years old.
Happy birthday, dude! Yeah, man. It was
feels
birthday.
Exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Exactly the same. I think once you pass, I don't know, like late 20s, or maybe it's once you hit 30. Once you hit 30, you're just kind of like, it's all the same. You know, and then people are like, well, 30's the new 20 and 40's the new 10.
30, yeah.
Everyone says all these dumb things and I'm like, man, I like the fact that I'm getting older. Like I like it because now I can take naps and I can relax. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like naps are becoming a frequent thing on the routine.
Good. They're so good.
Yeah, man. So, I'm 34. Yeah, I'm 34. Right now, and I'm turning 35 this year, and I'm like, oh shit, because that's halfway from 40 now. Then when 40 hits, I'm gonna freak out again. And then when 41 hits, I'm like, it's fine. And then when 45 hits, and we're still doing this podcast, I'm like, what are we doing with our lives?
Yeah, our 22 year anniversary, and we're like, what the fuck is this?
We're still doing this.
Yeah, it's like. And the same 18 fans that we have that listen every week. So shout out to all of you for listening. Yeah, hope you stick with us for the next, till the 25 year anniversary hits us.
Audibletrial.com/.
Yeah. In perpetuity. Just get that free fucking book every month.
Yeah.
Just sign up through like a VPN or something. Just keep getting free books from Audible.
Yeah, man.
Tell them we sent them. Oh, man. Oh, but yeah, went out and like went to a bocce grill.
Nice.
Hibachi food's pretty good.
Mm.
You know, just kind of
And
hung
they make
out.
a volcano or something?
Oh, well, because see, we do the smart thing. We don't actually sit at the hibachi anymore. We
Oh,
go
okay.
to the, this shows how old I am. I don't want to deal with the people. I don't want to look at
The flash
things.
and
No, no,
yeah.
no. I want to sit in the booth with my fiance and order from the hibachi menu and like, yeah, have the cool guy that does the tricks with the eggs, like have
Yeah.
him make our food, but then I'll eat it over here away from other human beings. It's great. It's fine. It's the best of all worlds.
What a participant.
I know I'm a team player. And
Yeah.
I really pride myself in my social. I'm a blossoming flower of social interaction.
Right. Oh man. That's cool though. It's been a good while since I've been to like been to one, but yeah, I like the tricks and stuff that they do.
Yeah, it's solid, and they're good entertainers. I think the scariest one I ever went to, I was in Maui, Hawaii, and it was probably the best hibachi I've ever had in my life, because you know, big Japanese population
For
in
sure, yeah.
Hawaii. So was there the guy that made our food did not only did he not speak a lick of English, he didn't say a single word. Not a word.
Okay.
He came out completely just all tatted up, like tats going up his neck onto his cheeks, and like this chef hat. And like he came
Yeah.
out and he goes, "Hoy." And then
Oh, okay.
he just cooks this delicious freaking food. And then at the end he like nods and then t shuts off the little grill. You know how they have to dial the gas under it? They have to like
Yeah.
reach under and kind of do that. Kind of did that and then he nodded and then he walked away. And I was like, "That guy's gonna kill somebody." Like that guy, if he has not already, and this is his community service, like this is amazing. Like this is the best food I've ever had by a guy who's clearly in the Yakuza. And you know what I mean? That's how it felt. I was like, this dude's intense. He didn't make eye contact. He just nodded. It was great.
So by the end of that, did it cut to four, five people on the couch? And I'm basically just describing Terrace House, like, oh, look at the bald guy, the bald white guy. He's very afraid of the Japanese guy.
Oh, look
I
at that
wonder.
one. Look at the Gaijin. Oh, so crazy.
Gotcha, right. Yeah. Or did it say Terrace House, Aloha State? I'm like, oh, what is this on
There he is. He's the guy
it?
hoarding all of those Japanese donuts, the little powdered bread that they give you sometimes.
Yeah. The
Just
meat
run.
incident part two.
Oh yeah.
And
Oh
you're in the
man.
center of
I am I'm the I'm the pivot that all of this is circling around. Oh man. Oh that's so, but
Oh,
how's your week been? How's your week as far as
man.
stuff?
Yeah, so like, I mean, other than real life
Yeah,
crisis,
you're right. Yeah, some of that
but I
drama.
won't get into
Yeah.
that. Won't get into that. So like, been watching a lot of stuff. So let's see. I finished off Koro Makoro, that samurai past samurai robot thing I was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's by the time it gets to the by the time I finished it. I was saying like it started a little slow, and on Twitter I was saying it started a little slow, it was a little off, and then by the time it gets to the end of season two, it sticks the landing. So I really liked it. Really
Good
liked the
deal.
ending because it picked up the pace, and like I was in anticipation because like oh no, the entire force of the bad guys are fully invading. What they should have done in the beginning, right? Other than just bring like one enemy at a time to fight them off and stuff. But yeah, so they all, they do the whole like everybody's invading, and then yeah, it ended off good, and like now I'm wanting a season three because like oh man, I wonder what happened. So that was good. Let's see. So I went from there to watching the entire season of Stranger Things.
Wow.
And
Yeah.
oh man, yeah, that's eight. It's just eight episodes, but it's like 45 minutes or about an hour per episode.
Gotcha.
And I gotta say that would be my recommend for this week for you, man.
Wow. Okay, 'cause I've been meaning
Definitely
to
check that
catch it.
out.
I've been meaning to
Yeah, I
catch it.
definitely would check that out. It's set in the 80s. It's like an 80s town, like I want to say in Indiana or something. Okay. Like nerdy references galore. Like they started off playing Dungeons and Dragons. They referenced like oh yeah, like superheroes and X-Men comics. Then like issue like 195 or something like that. And it's the feeling I got from watching the entirety of Stranger Things was like the overall whole season. It's like one X-Files, like say episode, not episode, but like
arc, like X-Files sort of
arc. Sure, yeah. So one whole X-Files arc about one thing, but while that's happening, it's the Goonies because it's three or four right. little kids.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, you're just getting to know these kids. You're getting to know this town and all the characters that come into play. And I definitely would recommend this. I don't even want to get too into it, delve into it and talk about it.
Yeah.
Just so like I get like you would say like you know you just want to know like what they think about it. Definitely would check it out. Yeah. Recommend Stranger Things.
Because I know I've cranked the soundtrack. Like.
Yeah. I heard
the soundtrack was
that fantastic. Intro, man.
Yeah,
that
I'm a big fan of like that 80s synth sort of.
Yeah.
You know, like Drive, that Ryan Gosling movie where he's the driver. It kind of has that same vibe, like that sort of chillaxed but kind of heavy bass synth, like almost Tron but not as upbeat. Like,
right.
You know, just kind of that pulsing rhythm stuff. Like, that's awesome. Hotline Miami had some of that too.
That's right. They did.
So, yeah, if I could judge the whole quality of that product by that, then it's fantastic. Like, because that soundtrack is remarkable.
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely, again, recommend Stranger Things to watch.
Yeah.
And then I believe what I mentioned last time was that I was going to go check out Leprechaun in the Hood.
Yes. Yeah. And I saw you tweet something and I retweeted it and made me laugh about so Ice-T saying something.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the first scene. It was Ice-T. And, I'll open it with this because I'm still kind of like in the beginning of the movie. I didn't fully finish it. And I have Leprechaun in the Hood, Back to the Hood, whatever the next movie, like, you know, on deck as soon as I'm done with it. Cause I need to know. And when Todd told me that, like, yeah, you know, they had another movie where he went to Back to the Hood, and I retweeted in all caps, like, he went back to the Hood. So
he had unfinished business.
Yeah. He had unfinished business, the urban youths, you know, let's see. It started off like Ice-T and this guy like trying to find some like loot. I think he was, because it was like set in like the 70s because he had an afro and he had picks and it was like bell bottoms and stuff. And so they found this like area where there was a statue and like a bunch of gold. And so Ice-T was being the dominant partner out of the two guys and like pushing the other guy over. And then they find a statue and the gold. And Ice-T looks at like a golden flute. He's like, yeah, I'm going to take this. And the other guy's like, oh man, look at all this other gold. And I'm going to take this necklace, which was on the statue. Lo and behold, it's the leprechaun. And as soon as they take off the necklace, Ice-T says, I forgot what I just quoted, but it was like, you like little person. He didn't say little person. He said the M word. So you little person, Midas looking motherfucker. and then he ran off. Right. But before that, like the other guy got killed. And like, I didn't know, like Leprechaun had like telepathy or just like telekinesis or whatnot. Yeah. Like I didn't know that happened. Cause like, he was like, or like, Matrix pushing, like you're not even punching them, but you just push them and they Holy fly off shit. Or something. I'm like, when did he level up? Like,
what
the hell?
he's god tier now. That's what he is.
Yeah, right. Fighting he's super turbo Kakuma now. Like,
that's right.
This was the thing. So Oni Leprechaun over here is just like having new powers I didn't even know of since the last movies I watched, but yeah, like then it moves forward to like the present, and like, you know, I think like the main character is a part of this up and coming rap group, and Ice-T is now like a not a super conglomerate, but like he's like a businessman with like, you know, he's rich and has all these money and hoes and such and such. Man. But the thing is, he keeps the statue, I think, with the necklace on in his office of the leprechaun. I don't even know how he got back into the stone, but that somehow happened. And then like that's kind of where I left off, and it's really something.
Does he keep that statue as like a reminder of his dead friend or something? Like what?
Maybe like I don't know, like where or he like
came from
if. Or if like shit really, you know, it really happens, like this is my secret weapon, you know, push the red button and unleash the leprechaun.
Launch the nukes type of thing.
But Leprechaun does what he wants. Like he's not gonna take orders, so I did see a scene where something like that happens, but I'm not gonna delve into that. If you have any kind of inkling to watch Leprechaun in the Hood, I would suggest you check that out.
I think the best thing about those Leprechaun movies,
because why not?
Because I mean, I think I've seen half of one a long time ago.
Right.
But that's always the type of movie that if you go to your local Walmart, it's in a box set of like 13 of them for $5.
Right. Yeah. Right. Right. Totally, you know, man.
All the Leprechaun stuff, man. But
all the Leprechauns and Hornswoggle.
And Hornswoggle. Apparently, Hornswoggle was preaching the other day. He was talking to Will Ospreay and Ricochet.
Oh, is he?
And he was saying like they're the best in the world and all that stuff. And he was going off, man. He was shooting in the middle of the ring.
He was shooting. Nice.
Yeah,
he was
funny. Yeah, he was like pointing at them both. He's like, "You guys are the fucking best athletes on earth." Like, it was great. I need to retweet it. I need to find it and retweet it. It was funny. Like, he's not wrong, but I mean, it was but it was funny to see him kind of in that, you know, like indie, like progress wrestling style.
Yeah.
Like, wait, what's Hornswoggle doing?
All hyped up. Yeah, totally.
With his Air Jordans on.
Air Jordans, right. Frog splashing people.
Oh, man. So speaking of, we have two main topics this show. So the first one, last week, we kind of made like this little joke about figuring out who our bullies are. So the rule of this is in professional wrestling, we kind of took a little bit of this idea from Old School Wrestling Review, but this is kind of a thing. You know, whenever you have, maybe you're hanging out with a group of people, you know, they're your boys. That's your boys right there. That's, you know, it's like brothers, you know, they're brothers.
Yeah.
So now we wanted to go into pro wrestling and figure out who our faction, you know, 4 to 5 wrestlers or so of our boys. But the rule was they kind of have to suck. Like it could be a great wrestler with a terrible gimmick. It could be a terrible wrestler with a terrible gimmick. It could be really anything, but maybe not on the, like, I didn't think stuff like, you know, Gobbledygooker would fit, like, maybe, but not, because technically that's Hector Guerrero. Hector Guerrero is a fucking legend, like, but he was the Gobbledygooker, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I did pick a few. I did pick 5.
Okay.
These are, two of these are deep cuts.
Okay.
So did you by chance get a list of your boys?
I have a tentative list, but basically loading up everybody that wanted to participate, like who their boys are. Gotcha. So I have everybody else is ready.
Okay. So maybe let's do everybody else's. So a few people chimed in. We kind of put it out on social media and said, hey, if you got a faction, if you got, who are your boys? Got to know. Let's line them all up, you know, mugshot, whatever it is. Let's line up the boys. So read some of those off.
Okay, so I actually told two of my coworkers at work that I do a podcast, and like this is what we do. We talk about wrestling and such, another thing. So like, you know, they were hyped up. Like, oh, that's cool, that's awesome. So I told them, who are your boys, right?
Yeah,
and because they're wrestling heads too. That's because why would I mention that I do a podcast if they're not really interested, right?
Right, you're at some like wine mixer. And they're like,
what's
a podcast?
I do a radio show. Like,
oh, the listening funnies. That's what we do. Yeah, see? I do a radio show, see?
Yeah. Man, I don't know. So my boy Miguel Roman, I call him my cousin Roman.
Roman, my cousin.
My cousin.
Roland.
So he has like an NWO size of his boys.
Oh.
So mm-hmm. like the C team NWO type of thing.
Yeah. Horace so Hogan his list, and
right. All of the others. So like he goes off his list. His number one, I guess, I don't know who's the leader, but his number one is Kamala.
Oh, right? Good.
Kamala.
Yeah.
Yeah. So his number two is the Honky Tonk Man.
Okay. Yeah. I'm feeling Honky it Tonk so Man. Far.
Yeah. Yeah. So his number three is Crush when he was the Hawaiian.
Yeah.
Right? when he was the Hawaiian brother, you know? Yeah. With his, I think it was his orange and purple spandex.
Oh, man. Yep. Oh, man.
So his number four, and I got to say, this is probably the leader, Coco Beware. And
good
he says,
man.
Coco Beware complete with that stupid ass bird. I would say that bird is the leader of this.
For sure. The bird is the leader. And the thing is, whenever I think Coco Beware, was it WrestleMania 3? That he came out
something like
and
that.
He had that blue jacket on and he was like waving his arms and that fucking bird was like dancing on his shoulder.
Like right. That bird was ready to like escape.
Bobbing up and down. Yeah.
He's chained up to
that's
Coco
my,
Beware.
Whenever I think Coco Beware, that's the exact image I think that's of. So the, I'm glad that he inserted the bird because that's, that's my mind too, as well.
Okay. Yeah. And then his number five would be Junkyard Dog. Right?
Right.
Sure. Yeah. So that's his complete list, but he had some supplementals, like maybe like a buddy coming to the ring, or maybe like a manager, an assist.
Yeah.
So he added, I wouldn't mind the Bushwhackers, Virgil, and Steve Blackman. So this is like a huge, like I said, NWO Z team that he has going with his boys, you know?
Steve Blackman is just such a good pick because like... What the fuck, right? Like, what you look at the whole thing of Steve Blackman, and you're like,
yeah.
How did you get hired? Like,
he beat up people. He beat up people in the ring, and then he beat up the security guards.
And he did just his like spinning back kick.
He did all of that stuff. Yep.
And then he didn't do it well. He just did it. It was like whenever X-Pac went through his deal of all he did was a cartwheel kick or like the spinning heel kick. Where that's the only move he did
for
4 years was a spinning heel kick. And then he did his little arm shake thing and then he got out of the ring. Yeah. And you're like, oh, great.
But he was a martial arts master, man. So.
Yeah, that's right. And no one else knows how to do that spin kick. That's shit.
Yeah.
For sure.
Look, that's man. Steve Blackman. The lowest selling t-shirt ever. Steve Blackman.
Like, what would that t-shirt be? Him holding the baton?
The kindle stick, I think. Or,
oh,
or
yeah,
baton,
it's a
kindle
stick. Oh, what are those things called? It's like the nightclub sort of thing, right? Like
the tonsils?
The nightstick or whatever they... Nightstick. I think so.
Yeah. Steve Blackman, man. No personality whatsoever.
None. Like people gave shit to like Lance Storm for not having a personality. And at least
he
was like, let me be serious for a minute. That's a funny catchphrase because the dude was never not serious.
So, right. See.
But Steve Blackman didn't even have that. He just came in with his pants that were a little too high.
Right.
And his Atomics martial arts shoes. Because of course, right? Of course,
with an O,
on.
Right?
Yep.
The O.
Oh, those white.
I'm surprised you didn't
stripe.
Right, I'm surprised he didn't have like the USA Jumpman pants or something.
Oh yeah, and like just a century gi. He comes out big old century martial arts gi.
And the shades.
Oh, those big shades with like the ski mask goggles on the back, like or the big strap.
The bandana and the muscle shirt. Dude, I
like that we repurposed Steve Blackman to be with this new entity of like shit, but
yeah,
I like it. He needs to come back with all that as a gimmick.
I know he should. So yeah, another one of my coworkers, we call him Hollywood Don. So his group of guys is Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
man.
Sure. All right. Okay. Gilbert, of course.
Oh, of course.
Of course. He put Kai and Tai.
I was so close to putting them. Yeah, I was so close to putting them on because of the whole, like, indeed. Like,
indeed.
Great gimmick. And those guys are incredible. Yeah. Like, Taka Michinoku has an entire brand of professional wrestling named after him. Like, that's amazing. He has Michinoku Pro. Like, that's what that is. That's his. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah. So, next up he goes Disco Inferno. And then his last one is Brooklyn Brawler.
Oh, sure. Heck yeah. Yeah. Like, those are good picks. And the thing about Disco Inferno, it's funny because I wonder if those guys watched the Total Nonstop Deletion thing.
Yeah.
Because I bet half those people made an appearance somewhere on that or were mentioned in some capacity in Total Nonstop Deletion.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, that was his group. I think his stands out were like Gilbert and like Kai and Tai.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And Kai and Tai's a good pick because, those guys are just good. They're like solid, but they had bad gimmick. You know, I know Todd had some picks too.
Todd did have some picks. Sorry, I had to relocate to another room.
Oh, no, you're good.
Okay, so let's see. Let me go load up Todd. He first gave me a serious list. Like, it was like, let's see. It was like Muda, Raven, Christopher Daniels, and Jake Roberts. I was like, that's a pretty legit list, actually.
Yeah, it's like,
man,
that's a brawler list. Like, you gotta.
Yeah, so I had to say, like, oh, no, like, kind of like a guilty pleasure, like you were saying, like what Todd was saying before.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. So he's like, Blue Meanie.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Meanie. I put in there for the dance, Curry Man. Repo Man.
Yes.
And then he said, whatever the hell TNA did from 2005 to 2009.
Oh, God. That was terrible. That was all Vince Russo.
Yeah.
Bro,
yeah,
I got this great idea, bro. We're going to have an electric cage match, bro.
And then I'll tell you in Google Hangouts, bro.
Google Hangouts, you log in. I'm going to tell you because what they're going to do, bro, listen, you're going to go and you're going to grab onto the cage, and then I'm going to flip on and off the light switch, bro. So then it looks like the power went out in the building, bro.
Yeah.
A true fucking story. That's how they did that. And it was terrible.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it was
dreadful.
It was a disaster, and then the whole thing.
Wasn't it like the butcher that got jacked up or something?
Yes. And then it was like the person who hit the cage had to like shake. And then over the loudspeaker, they played an electric noise like.
Right.
And then they turned off and on the lights. And I'm like, what kind of haunted house shit are they trying to pull here?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Man. Oh, dude.
It'll be stellar, bro. They won't even know. It'll be just like they got in there and they think someone got electrocuted, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Oh, man. And then Princeton chimed in as well because I just hit it up everybody. So Princeton comes in with the Brooklyn Brawlers, the leader.
Oh, okay.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
With this list. Brooklyn Brawler as a leader, Barry Horowitz, of course.
Oh,
pat yourself
good
on the back.
Call.
Iron Mike Sharp.
Oh, shit.
The Red Rooster. and finally, Bastion Booger.
Man, he's got some. I thought I had some deep cuts, man. Those are good.
Those are good,
holy
right?
Holy shit, Princeton representing.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Dude. Yeah, that's
the stuff, man. I'll tell you what, man. Yeah. Princeton knows the stuff for sure.
Oh, totally. Oh, totally.
Oh, that's great.
Totally.
Red Rooster. I have heard that fucking name in so long. Oh, that's great. Dude. So,
yeah.
So, I got my list up here.
Go for it, man.
Okay. So, I'll say the two somewhat standard ones, just because they're genuinely my boys. Even if I made the list of like great wrestlers and stuff, I'd put these two on it, just because I think they're underrated. And I think like, yeah, they're my boys. I'll represent. Mm. And then I got three of great wrestlers, well, arguably, with dreadful gimmicks, but they have to be that gimmick. Like,
yeah,
and you'll know what I mean when we get there. The first one, my boy, Al Snow. Gotta go with Al Snow. Dude's super smart. He had that goofy, the gimmick he had was way more over than he was. But like, great guy. Number two, boy, Spike Dudley.
Oh, Spike Dudley.
Fucking Dudley, man. He had that bulldog off the turnbuckle onto the outside. Like, that dude was crazy.
Yeah.
He'd take some bumps, man.
He did some stuff. Yeah, he definitely did some stuff. But he was, you know, this size can make him do more than he was capable of, or more than he was pushed for. So.
Super smart guy, too. I want to say he has like a master's in English literature.
Yeah.
Like, he's super smart. Man. He was a teacher for a long time. Okay, so number three, now we're getting to the good stuff.
Okay.
Got me some Vinny Vegas. Get old Kevin Nash, baby.
Yeah.
Just before Big Daddy Cool, before Diesel.
Before the Mummy. Before
I think it was after Oz. I think this was after he played the Wizard of Oz. But Vinny Vegas, because like absolutely not. You look at it and you're like, this is not gonna work. But he did it, man. He was paid, so he went out with a fucking mohawk and a mullet and a nasty suit. Okay.
Okay.
Now we got the two that I'm real proud of. I'm like so proud of these two. So number four, Jimmy Wang Yang.
Jimmy Wang Yang. That's a good one.
One of the Young Dragons. One of the Young Dragons, dude. It's funny because whenever I thought of it, I started laughing. And I was like, what the fuck is that guy up to now? Because he hasn't wrestled in forever. He did TNA. He did like All Japan Pro Wrestling. He was everywhere. So I was like, what's he doing now? In October of last year, WWE did a Where Are They Now with Jimmy Wang Yang.
I was trying to watch that one. Yeah.
And I saw it. And he was hanging out with everyone, man. Like, he went backstage. And the Miz, you know, and Miz has been on fire the past few years. Like, Miz shakes his hand, and he literally tells the camera, he's like, I learned so much from this guy. And I was like, oh, shit, like, for real? And then AJ.
John Cena passes by or something? Oh, yeah.
Okay. John Cena passes by, says, how you doing? Like, they worked in OVW together. They show, like, old footage of that. And then they show, who else? Yeah, AJ Styles walks by, and they started in WCW on the same week.
Oh, wow.
Like, and you think about this stuff, and then you're like, oh, my God. But then through Ring of Honor, he wrestled in Ring of Honor, and he was part of the, I can't remember what gimmick it was, but he had a freaking match against Christopher Daniels, Low Ki, and AJ Styles. It was like a six-man tag. I'm like, what the hell? Like, this dude's putting in some work. And apparently, I mean, I love the Young Dragons in WCW. Like, awesome. Mm. But that Jimmy Wang Yang, that the Korean cowboy, it made no sense. It's like our moose in the Philippines type stuff. Like, you're like, what the fuck is this? But, like, so good. And then the number one boy. This is by far the leader of the group. No question in my mind.
Okay.
Kerwin White. Chavo Guerrero as the most racist white stereotype. With his golf caddy as Dolph Ziggler.
He was.
Kerwin White. And his theme song is so good because it's this terrible Frank Sinatra, like, I love my life. Like, terrible song. Dreadful. Yeah. The whole thing was a disaster. And then his catchphrase. Do you remember what his catchphrase was?
I do. Actually, I do not.
I can't believe they got away with this. If it's not white, it's not it's right.
Oh, is that where I got that from? I was trying to remember. I was like, why do I know that from somewhere? I was like, I guess, okay. Kerwin White. Kerwin White, man.
May he bless your social media feed, Kerwin White. Because for real, if people don't know about Kerwin White, like, it's Chavo Guerrero, great wrestler, like, historic family. So he literally, if you think of what, like, a stand-up comedian would dress like as a yuppie white guy, that's exactly what he dresses like. So he has Dockers that have pleats in them. Yeah. And then he has this terrible, like, polo shirt. And he has a sweater wrapped around his neck.
Yeah,
the sweater wrapped around his neck and tied kind of almost like an ascot. And then he does, like, the big cheesy grin and the thumbs up all the time. And I was like...
And he has bleached hair.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
I was like, this is the best thing I've ever seen in my life. Who thought... Like, this had to pass a committee. Like, this whole idea had to get past the workshop stage to make it to TV, and he was on there for like 8 months as Kerwin White.
It was a process. Definitely.
Oh my God. Unbelievable. But he's my boy. Like, Kerwin White forever. If they're gonna bring back any retro, like, t-shirts of Kerwin White, I'm buying all of them. Every single one.
Okay.
Oh.
That's a great list, dude.
Jimmy Wang Yang and Kerwin White.
Yeah. Picturing
those two.
Fight for leadership and stuff.
Right. They have the inner turmoil. They have their own civil war.
Yeah. Oh, dude. So my list. Let's see.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can remember this off. So I believe my number five would be Glacier. All right.
Oh, shit.
Glacier from WCW.
Dude, Glacier was the person in the N64 wrestling games that I would pick just to beat up on.
Of course. So Glacier, the fake Sub-Zero of WCW.
Oh, for sure.
When they were grabbing all those martial artists to wrestle. I was thinking of putting Ernest the Cat Miller, but I already had Glacier on there. My number four would be Ryusuke Taguchi, Funky Weapon.
Funky Weapon, yes sir.
Funky Weapon, because I love that guy. And like right now, I don't know if he's on his way out or what, but like what he's been doing lately is he's been taking other people's like gimmick stuff. Like he was doing some Shinsuke Nakamura, he was doing some Yuji Nagata stuff, movements, like gestures and all that stuff. So he just does low card stuff, and I guess he's fine with that. So that's why I put him there. My number three would be La Parca.
Oh man, that's a good
because I love La Parca. The chairman, yeah.
Yes, the chair guitar.
Yeah, you did that stupid dance, and I did it all the time myself.
The thing is, he wails the shit out of people with that chair.
Yeah, man.
Like,
he did.
He was one of those, he didn't care if you got a concussion. Like, he was going to hit you as hard as humanly possible with that thing.
Yeah, man. He did. Oh, dude.
What a boss.
Let's see. My number two, all right, now I'm trying to think about it. Now, my number two would have to be, and he's on my mind right now, because would be the Hurricane.
Yes.
Shane Helms.
Shane Helms, baby.
Smoke, man. And then my leader of the group, my leader of the group would have to be James Ellsworth.
I'm
just a fan, man.
Yeah, man.
You know, the Chin Boys. I mean,
that's fighting fists. That's right.
Two handers. You know.
Yeah, that's right. He's double decking. Double decking. Yeah, he'll give you a lot of little column A and column B if you're just waiting for it. You know.
Oh man, yeah. So yeah, that's my list.
That's James Ellsworth,
the leader.
All these lists,
because you wouldn't expect
good
it.
Lists.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Kamala, yeah, man.
Kamala, yeah.
You know, I Bash think who the Booger. Yeah, who the overall leader of all of these like the valet, the escort, the whatever you want to call it, the manager, whatever you want to call it. I think of over all of these brothers and all the boys has to be, what is it? Yoshihiko, the doll
the doll that was a
that Kenny
champion.
Omega and Kota Ibushi had matches with.
Ibushi had matches with, yeah.
That's the prime leader
Yeah.
of all the faction. He's the Pauly Dangerously of
He
you know, the
is,
Dangerous Alliance. So
yeah.
beautiful.
And
Beautiful.
that doll had like shoulder cannons coming into the ring, and yeah,
Yeah. I just like the
has like,
fact my favorite thing about those matches is whenever they would do like, oh, it's an outdoor match against Kota Ibushi and it's Kota Ibushi versus Yoshihiko. And someone would just be up like on top of a building and they would like grab the doll and just throw him. Like they wouldn't prep it. They
Everybody freaks
wouldn't.
out.
It's so funny. And then like the wind would catch him, so then they'd have to run to like actually keep up with the doll while
Go
it's falling.
grab
And then they'd still sell
it.
it. They'd still sell it. And then the crowd claps. And I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And I can't stop watching it. I love it. I love everything about that. Like people will talk shit on like DDT Pro and stuff, and I'm like, dude, I will buy so many compilation DVDs of DDT Pro because it's so dumb. I DDT Pro makes me want to be a wrestler. Like if I were to wrestle in Japan, I would want to
You
start
would
at
go to
DDT
DDT
Pro
Pro.
because like you know you're gonna work over a 20-minute match, you're gonna work 2 minutes of it, and then you're just gonna wait around for some crazy shit to happen. Like someone drives a forklift or something, and you're like, all right, I guess we're here now.
I saw today's stories. It was all about Ibushi arming people. Ibushi, why is Kota Ibushi always arming people with like, Roman candles and stuff?
And he's a menace. Like Kota Ibushi
You
is like a
don't see it
rascal.
in
Yeah, he's a
the
rascal. He's driving around in go-karts,
face.
like running over people. What are you doing? I just love it that he
Oh
said hell no to NXT because he wanted to go back and like shoot
man.
Roman candles at people and like interrupt a guy getting spanked by a stripper. Like you're like, what? Okay. All right. We're all in.
Kota Ibushi, man.
Oh, that's right,
The pride
man.
and joy of DDT Pro.
That's true, man. The highlight reel.
Highlight reel of DDT Pro.
Oh, so our next order of business.
Next
No.
order of business.
We get to, what's the opposite of like turn that frown upside down? Because like we're all happy and jovial talking about Kota Ibushi. How do we just reverse that and just slam on the brakes?
Finger snap.
That's
Because
right.
that's what
Yes,
they did.
now we're gonna switch over to the next. Okay. So we are going to talk about Nintendo Switch. We talked to people on social media about it. I watched the press conference as it happened on my big TV, all that good stuff. I was watching it the whole time. And I do want to preface a few things before we get too far into this. Number one is I do believe that the Switch will sell more than the Wii U did. I think monetarily it will be more successful than the Wii U. I think I don't think the Wii U was an absolute disaster, but it was pretty close as far as sales and like, what is this thing? People were like, why do I need a Wii U? I already have a Wii. Like, it was this weird middle child. And I think the Wii U was kind of the test run for the ideas they had for the Switch.
Oh, for the switch, yeah.
But I can say, as a Wii U owner, I feel a little shafted just because it's like, well, now they got this thing and it's a better version of what they tried to sell me with a Switch or with a Wii U. So, but I do think the Switch will be more successful globally. I don't think this is like a doom and gloom Nintendo, oh God, it's off the rails. I don't think it's anything that dramatic. Because you have to think, people thought this way about the DS. Whenever the DS was announced, and you have to remember back at the time, they had the Game Boy Advance, and I love my Game Boy Advance. The SP, the
Oh,
Square
everybody loved
System.
it. I love my Game
Dude,
Boy Advance.
that clamshell thing, it was a perfect design. It was awesome.
Yeah,
And then they bring out
put it
the
in your pocket.
DS, and it's two screens, and it has a stylus. And, oh, what the hell is
Yeah.
this thing? But now think back. Can you imagine mobile gaming without the DS? Like, no.
Right.
Yeah. It reinvented the game. Like it,
yeah.
it changed it forever.
It became like the PS1, PS2 RPG system.
Yeah, huge system. That install base, yeah. I still don't think that it's been caught up with. You know what I mean? Like yeah. just DS is monstrous. So Nintendo's always played by the beat of their own drum. Like they're their own industry. They're not against Sony or Microsoft. They're doing their own thing. They are the Disney of video games. Like Disney doesn't give two shits about what everyone else is making. They're going to make their movies and they're going to make a lot of money. Like same as it ever was. But with the Switch, they have made a lot of baffling decisions. Like decisions that literally I was looking at the screen and my jaw would open wider and wider and I'm shaking my head like, what are they doing? Like, what? How could they think this is a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
But
so where do you want to start off?
Okay. So we can talk about the device itself.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So the premise and the way they did it during the press conference is they talked about the Switch is what Nintendo has been working towards ever since the Super Nintendo, or ever since really regular Nintendo. And they showed kind of a timeline, and they said from each Nintendo system, what aspect of it did they take into consideration when bringing about the Switch? So they talked about, oh, you know, the D-pad from the regular Nintendo. And then, the Super Nintendo introduced the X and the Y buttons and the triggers.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the N64 introduced the analog stick. You know, GameCube had the portable handle, so you could take the system with you. Which is hilarious. I actually laughed out loud when it showed the GameCube, and I was like, "Yeah, I love my GameCube, a great system." And they're like, "The handle." And I'm like, "Oh fuck, that's the thing you took from this."
The lunchbox.
Yeah. So it kind of went in through all that, and it said, the Game Boy, you can really take portable gaming, you know. So they went through the whole history, and then like, now we end up with the Switch. And I was like, okay, that's a natural progression. I can see how all of these things are themed to end up where we're at right now. And the system itself has three modes. So there's a TV mode where you actually dock the station, the actual Switch itself, into a dock. And then it actually throws the image onto your television.
Onto the TV.
And then your Joy-Con controllers go into kind of the little charging station thing that shapes it almost like a bulkier GameCube controller, sort of. Like, it's a box in the middle, and then it has your two Joy-Cons on the side. Now, keep in mind the Joy-Cons themselves don't have batteries. Like, you do not put batteries in them like it's a Wiimote or something. They work on the same type of charge system that like the DualShock. It has the lithium ion or whatever type of battery is in it. It's in there. The battery's in there. So you have the TV mode where you're playing it like that. And then it's like, okay, now we're going to go to tablet mode to where you can now take off the two Joy-Cons and then you can, take the Switch out of the dock and then almost put it up like you would put up a laptop computer. You can have it like on your desk, and then you can be playing with the joystick or the Joy-Con controllers. And then they have what's called a mobile mode, which is where you really do take it with you, like away from the TVs, away from all that stuff, and you can actually move it around with you. You can take it with you. And you could actually put the Joy-Cons on the side of the Switch and turn it into almost like a Wii U gamepad, where you have the controllers on the side and on each side, and then the screen's right there in the middle for the Switch itself. So, interesting idea. The only thing is I'm still not quite sure what the goal of this system is.
Okay.
Because throughout the whole press conference, you know, and they started off with the price and all that stuff, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But they showed this, like, here's the new Nintendo system. It's going to replace the Wii U. and the 3DS. Like, that's how they're positioning this thing. It's like, now if you're going to make something for a Nintendo system as a developer, you will make it for a Switch, whether it's a portable game or not, because they all play on the Switch.
Right.
That's a big red flag for me right there. Because, one, I love my 3DS. I love it. I think the DS, the 3DS, like Game Boy, you know, SP, all that stuff. I love Nintendo's portable, their whole dynamic. I've always loved it. And I remember even back in No Quarter and Nitro Beard, I always said that I wish Nintendo thought about their home consoles the way they thought about their handheld.
Okay.
Because, like, they give so much hype and love to these games they develop on these devices. So your Pokemons and your Fire Emblems and all this stuff. The 3DS roster is ridiculously good. But their home systems don't quite match up, at least in my opinion, for the type of games.
Totally they don't all match up.
So now it feels like they're trying to bridge a gap, but I don't think the gap needs bridging. I like the fact that the 3DS was its own thing and had more of the strategy games, your Advance Wars, your Fire Emblems, your Pokemons, your Etrian Odyssey, that sort of experience, Monster Hunter. Then keep it separate from your longer form Zeldas or Mario.
You think they're trying to like PSP and Vita it, basically?
Yeah, but imagine if... It's almost weird because, like, okay, you remember that PlayStation Vita or the PSP that you hooked up to your TV? What was that called?
Right, like the
PSP TV, I think.
Right.
It was a PSP
TV. They had Vita had a one too.
Yeah. Imagine if that was Sony's new system completely.
Right. Yeah.
Like, no PS5, no nothing like that. It was just, here's the new system, so it's going to bridge the gap from the Vita and your PS4. And you're like, I don't know if that, just that idea even makes sense.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about the Switch, is I'm like, and we'll get more into the details of why I think a lot of this is just asinine. Okay, so we'll get into a few of the games. We're going to talk about the system itself, but in order to talk about my quips with how the system is put together, I have to mention some of the games and how they play.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a few games. One, keep in mind there are no pack-ins with the system. No game comes with the Switch.
Oh, right, yeah. You gotta buy the game.
So you gotta buy anything. And all of these games are full price.
Yeah.
Like $50, $60 full price.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one called 1-2 Switch, which is a kind of group of mini games. Like you milk a cow and you hold up a thing and you eat sandwiches and you chomp at the controller and Wii Sports was a monster hit because everyone wanted to play bowling. Everyone wanted to play tennis. Everyone wanted to get their hands on those motion controllers and do that.
Play baseball and box, yeah.
So here's the thing. Number one, 1-2 Switch uses that controller like a freaking Wii motion controller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does.
During the Switch press conferences, they talked about how they're getting away from the Wii and motion control. Yet one of your premier launch games is nothing but motion control. So right then I'm like, okay, hold on. What? The motion control? That's what you're showing off? Like 11-year-old technology?
Yeah.
Like it's a little different now because we have virtual reality. We have Oculus Rift. That's we have the Vive.
VR.
That really uses motion control because you're holding these things in a virtual reality. Like, it might be for a different demographic, but the landscape has changed.
You don't have the immersion of motion control. Yeah.
That it all comes together. But with, you know, we're not in the landscape where the Wii is revolutionary anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like those motion controls are kind of outdated now. So you're showing one of your big premiere things that's one not a pack-in, which is mind-blowing to me. Why is 1-2 Switch not a pack-in to that machine?
It should, yeah. I mean, like if Wii Sports or Wii Sports
Nintendo
was
Land,
a pack-in.
Yeah, yeah, Nintendo Land for the Wii U. Like, yeah, what the hell is going on? So
showcase what the system can do.
Yes, give people a reason to play with these two controllers. And apparently the size of the Joy-Con controllers are pretty small. So depending on the size of your hand, that may be an issue.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people have been saying, including myself, if I were to ever get one like that, it's going to cramp up my hand and stuff,
it's
man.
It's tiny. It's tiny. And then here's the thing that gets me. Is during the press conference, they were big on, well, with 1-2 Switch, a lot of these mini games, they use sound. So you'll listen to the sounds and you'll react. So that way you don't even need to look at the TV or the Switch itself. You can just look at your partner that you're playing with. And like if you're playing tennis, you can look at them in the eye. And you can like, you can play tennis with them. And then you just have it based on sounds. And like, that's a cool idea in theory. But the next sentence they said was, you could take it to a party. How am I going to hear anything at a party?
Yeah, right.
And these things are tiny. I'm going to lose these controllers.
You're literally going to lose them, yeah. That's the first thing I thought of.
And those motherfuckers ain't cheap.
Have you seen my Joy-Con? Well, I guess I'll go get another one.
I guess I'll go spend $50 for one.
Yeah.
One. It's $80 for a pack of two controllers.
Yeah.
$80?
This is the day and age where the controllers are more expensive than the games.
Yes. I literally have a list written out of stuff I want to like bitch about with this thing. But I don't want to come off completely dismissing it because I think it'll be successful. I think they're going to find their stride like Nintendo always does. It's not doom and gloom. This is same as it has ever was. Like Nintendo has always done this. Always. Always and forever have they done this. So they'll be fine. I just am very disappointed with how they're handling a lot of this stuff. Like, okay, let's talk about a little bit of the pricing.
Yeah.
So it's still going to tie into the system because with the system, you basically get the Switch itself, a docking station, the two Joy-Con controllers, the stuff to hook it up, and like the little Joy-Con dock thing to turn it into a controller in TV mode.
Yeah.
So that's what you get. So let's say you needed a replacement. Do what?
That's $300.
Yeah. So that's $300. And here's the deal. Okay. I don't have a problem with that price. I know a lot of people are freaking out about the $300. That's fine. Like, $250 would have been better, but $300
sweet
not bad.
Spot would be $250. Yeah,
$250 would have been the spot, but hey, $300, that's okay. Sure.
Yeah, sure.
What's not okay? So let's say something happens to your dock for the Switch. That's $90.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah.
So. And we talked about the Joy-Cons. Let's say one of them stops working. One replacement for one of them is $50.
Yep.
The bundle of both the left and the right Joy-Con is $80.
$80.
And dude, the Pro controller, so the controller that actually looks like kind of a...
like a controller?
Yeah, like an actual video game controller.
That's 80, like 90?
80.
80, okay.
What? $80?
Yeah.
Are you out of your mind? And then you start getting into game pricing, and like that's where my head really started like, what? Like Ultra Street Fighter 2 HD is $40.
That was a weird decision there. Yeah.
For Street Fighter 2 in the year of our Lord 2017 is $40.
Yeah.
They have to be kidding.
The only way I can see this work, the only way, is if they make more characters.
They're bringing two characters. So they're bringing Evil Ryu.
And Violent Ken.
Violent Ken.
So, what I mean by Street Fighter 2 eyes characters is, like, say you Street Fighter Two Eyes, like Yun and Yang from Third Strike, or yeah. or like Makoto from Third Strike,
sure.
or like
sure.
Rufus or El Forte from Street Fighter 4, you Street Fighter 2 eyes them.
Got you.
And maybe that'll be worth it.
Or but you get some of like the Alpha cast. Or
Alpha cast, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe even, you know, since there's a good working relationship with Namco Bandai and Tekken, you can make a Tekken character in there.
Sure. Oh,
If they want to make do the work.
Build
if you want
like
them to do the work.
10 more arenas.
Yeah.
Put in some sort of like boss rush mode. Just play around with it. Make it like, you know, those Pac-Man Championship Edition type things. Like make something like that where it's just kind of crazy and like disco lights everywhere. Like just go for it. Just go all out there and make it crazy. Sure. That's a better kind of investment. That's a better value proposition. But just your everyday old Street Fighter 2 with high def graphics and two new characters is $40. You got to be out of your mind. So I will say, as far as like some of the games, Super Mario Odyssey looks fantastic. Like I will actually still say that Super Mario Galaxy for the Wii is maybe the best game ever created. Like I think everything that game does is perfect. I think it's genuinely Nintendo at their best. Like I put Super Mario Galaxy in the same sentence as I would put a like Zelda Link to the Past or like Super Mario World. Like the kind of cream de la creme of Nintendo. I think Super Mario Galaxy is up there, like genuinely. I cannot think of a better game they have made since then. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Like that was kind of like recent Nintendo. That is the best they've ever been. So Super Mario Odyssey looks great. I think it looks neat. But it's coming out in the holiday. It's not a launch game. You got to wait till like December, December or January or something. Who knows?
When is the launch of that? Is the launch of the system?
March 3rd.
Oh, that's a while. Yeah, that's a while.
So yeah, you're going almost a whole year without getting a Mario game.
Yeah.
I think there are 1-2 Switch is a launch game, like day of, and I think Zelda, Breath of the Wild.
Zelda.
That's it. Dude, you got two fucking games.
You got to play those two games. I mean, that's going to be your only system.
Enjoy.
You got to make it, you got to make it last.
Yeah. So, and the thing, and here's another thing. Yeah, sure, Zelda, great. Guess what? I'm going to buy it for my Wii U. I'm buying it for my Wii U. I don't need to buy a Switch. I got my Wii U. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy the game. I'm going to buy my $60 or $50 game, whatever. And I have to buy a Switch. They completely, like, punch themselves in the balls.
Yeah, they should have made that an exclusive.
Bingo. Like, I would have been pissed, but then I would have also made peace with the fact that, okay, I guess I'm not playing that Zelda.
I'm going to have to buy a Switch.
I guess I'm not playing it. That's fine. I'll make peace with it. There's other games to play. But now, what are they doing? That's what I mean. It's a baffling decision. But the same thing happened with Twilight Princess. They made the GameCube version. They made the Wii version.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to play the GameCube version. Everybody. The Wii didn't like end up doing badly or anything. Like that's one of the best selling Nintendo systems of all time. But still, that point remains that they keep repeating these really dumb mistakes. And I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what's going on. And like there's a game called ARMS, which looks interesting. Mm-hmm. Like it's a bug, kind of like Virtual On, where you have
It's kind of like they're fighting their Nintendo-owned fighting game, in a sense.
Yeah, like and smash. You control the trajectory of the fists, and it's almost like you have to lead it a little bit because the arms are stretchy. So
Fighter,
you kind of have to aim, and then you can move back and forth or, like, tilt your hand one way or another, and it spins it gives it trajectory and stuff. So, like, interesting, and you can do counters and combos. So there's some depth to it. Like, yeah, sure, all right.
Yeah,
but still, that's not a launch game.
That can be a thing. Yeah, right.
Like that needs to be a launch. You need to have games at launch to really show off what this thing is doing differently. Zelda ain't going to do it. Zelda's going to be great, but that's not the game to sell the Switch.
You actually do need more than that. Yeah, that might be the weakest lineup of a Nintendo launch, right? You think?
Probably. I made the joke on Twitter that, you know, because they said, we have 80 games in production for the Switch.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I was like, here's the two games that they're going to show, and then that 74 yeah. versions of Carnival games. And the more we start learning about it, the more I'm sadly accurate, and it makes me pissed. Because it's like, just develop some shit for this thing, man. Just please, just get good games on it. Please. Okay, now... if we want to talk about baffling decisions, like I want you to give me your honest opinion on how the hell any of this makes sense. So, two things. Nintendo is going for a pay online service, kind of like PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live. And all of the stuff for online, so your friends lists, inviting people to games, voice chat, don't happen on the Switch. They happen on your phone.
Your phone app.
What the fuck am I paying for?
I mean, we basically already got it, what we were using right now.
Dude, why would this be a thing?
And we don't have to pay for it.
Discord is right there.
Yeah.
On your phone.
It is.
What are they fucking doing?
They never heard of Discord, apparently.
Oh, apparently. They don't know. I've always said
about
Nintendo
that Discord community.
Nintendo is 10 years behind the times. Oh my God. This is the part that, like, once they put this nail in the coffin, I was like, oh, they got a lot of fucking nerve. Okay, so basically every month, because you signed up for the service, you get a free game.
You're such a loyal customer.
You get a free game. So Nintendo picks the free game. That's fine. They let you play the free game for that month. Then they pull access to it and you have to buy it.
Yeah.
So you have PlayStation Plus. You know, I have PlayStation Plus. And, like, we have these things. So the way those work is you get a free game every month. And as long as you stay subscribed, you have full access to that game. At any time, you could go back. If you were subscribed 3 years ago, you could go back to the games that were PlayStation Plus 3 years ago, re-download them, and play them today. You could do it.
Yeah.
They're yours. As long as you got PlayStation Plus, those are your games. Enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting a time limit on these fucking games. They pick the one game. It's one. Then they pull access at the end of every month.
It baffles me that it's just one game. It's just one NES or one Super Nintendo game. Dude, like Nintendo games were freaking hard back in the day. Like, I don't know how people can, unless you're a speedrunner, like, I don't know how people are going to be able to beat like an NES game in a month.
Well, and here's the thing, and here is the, I'm going to break it. This is, we're brothering around. This is fucking uncensored, unfiltered.
Yeah.
Do you know how easy it is? Do you know how easy it is to download every single Nintendo and Super Nintendo game on Earth in less than 5 minutes?
Exactly. Yep.
So what are they doing? Like, I'm blown away. These are the type of decisions that I'm like, and they have the nerve to charge $80 for a pro controller, $40 for Ultra Street Fighter 2 HD, no pack-ins.
Not a
what
great
are you
launch.
Doing? Like, two launch games, one that you can get on another system, and the other one that doesn't look so hot anyway.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I don't know. Like, I like the potential of it. I just like the potential of what they're trying to show. But what they actually have presented, it's like, no, that's not how I pictured it. You know?
Yeah. It's this weird disconnect. Like, whenever they showed the Switch and I watched it, whenever they showed it on like Jimmy Fallon and stuff, I was like, okay, all right. Yeah, I can, sure.
We even talked about it in the previous episode, too.
Yeah. They're playing Zelda. It looks good. Yeah. That screen looks sharp. All right. Yeah, let's get in it. And then they show this big thing. They say they're only having a few launch games. Thing's $300. You have to literally buy everything separate. You have to pay for online. All the online shit's on your phone anyway, so what are you paying for?
Like, use the not Discord.
I don't know. I don't what are they trying to do? And I guess that's the thing, is what is the goal of this thing? Because there is no way in shit, and I guarantee you, they have this fantasy that they're going to take I'm going to take the Switch and I'm going to take it over to my cousin's house, and my cousin's going to have a Switch as well. And then, oh yeah, let's talk about that for a minute. Okay, so for ARMS, each person has to have two controllers.
Mm-hmm.
So think about that for a minute. If your Switch only comes with one set of controllers, a right and a left, just to play ARMS, you have to drop $80 more just on two more controllers.
To get a second one? On one dock, right?
One dock.
Yeah.
So that game went from being $60. Like PS3. Yeah. That game went from being $60 to fucking $140.
Yeah.
Does ARMS look that good? Nope. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are they doing?
It is crazy. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think their mentality is like, we're Nintendo. Of course you're going to buy Nintendo stuff, no matter how shitty the decisions are.
That's what I feel so bad for, man. It's like,
I'm actually curious how... I know Tyler is more up on it than we are right now, but like, I'm curious on like what he thinks overall.
I would like to hear, because I know he's the type that, he loves Nintendo, and rightfully so. I mean, Nintendo...
Yeah,
probably some of the best, maybe the best game maker ever made, like just off the charts, right? But
yeah,
he's definitely he was our Nintendo guy at Nitro Beard, and
he
has a very soft spot for Nintendo. But I would be amazed if he didn't have any qualms with it, because even on Twitter, he was saying some of this stuff I don't agree with, but I already got mine pre-ordered. He's going to give it a fair shake, and I think everyone should. We probably sound more down on it than, like, would I recommend getting a Switch at launch? Probably not, but say they do that. I know they're doing a, like, deluxe Mario Kart 8 version, and that game's a lot of fun, so if you haven't played it, that'd be a good one to get, but wait for the pack-in. Wait for the $300 version that comes with two games and 5 months of online service, whatever they would call it. Like, wait for that. Wait for that one. Don't get it at launch. There's nothing to fucking play. Just, you'll be fine. And I think Todd mentioned this, and it's something I wanted to bring up. Nintendo's always done this thing where they falsify how rare things are.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to limit stock on purpose. That way they can say, well, it's sold out in 15 minutes. Yeah, because you sent every store two of them.
Exactly. You know,
like, they made so many more of them. Like, I was around, I was a manager at GameStop and stuff and doing inventory control during the Wii launch. And that was a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
That was an absolute nightmare. We were a big, big store in the middle of a big, big city. And each shipment, we only got four.
Mm.
You know, we heard Walmart got six. So, of course, they're like, well, they sell out as soon as they get them. Yeah, because you sent Oklahoma City 15 of them.
Right.
Of course they sold out. Like, that's not impressive. I've always had some qualms with Nintendo about some of the ways they do business. But, hey, it works for them. God bless. Mm-hmm. Like, but there's stuff that I feel honestly bad. Like... The people I actually really feel bad for are the marks.
Yeah. It's like their outlook on it is like, it's very archaic.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just feel so bad for the marks, because they're going to buy it for the Nintendo games, and that's fine. They should. That's the only reason I would recommend buying a home console Nintendo The
You get your
3DS is
Mario, you get your Zelda, you get your
yep.
Donkey Kong. You get,
Bingo.
I mean, that's what like their repeated cycle is, like, anyways, right?
Bingo. That's it. You know, maybe once in a while sprinkle in like a Kid Icarus,
Yeah.
maybe some Metroid, Star Fox. But like even last year, Star
The
Fox
guy,
didn't do so hot. So
yeah, the guy that make that makes Yakuza showed up. I was like, "What are you doing there? What game are you?" Like, he didn't announce anything. I was like, "Oh, but you may be announcing something from the Yakuza game or something." But yeah, that's
yeah,
about the only time it caught my interest.
and that was weird because you had stuff like representatives from a lot of companies and like Sega was there, yeah, and they were like, "We're very interested in this. This looks like a neat machine. See you later." And then you had Todd Howard, you know, it's true, Skyrim, that new hot hit Skyrim.
So 2008 and 9.
It's like, come on, man. Like, I have three different versions of Skyrim. Two
You
of
do.
them are both on computer. So, and here's the deal, $300, the way that thing's set up, with the way the architecture and the Joy-Cons, I wouldn't want to take it anywhere. Like, that's an expensive travel companion. Just for playing like three or four games. Like, I understand taking a laptop with you somewhere. I understand taking like a 3DS or something with you because you can actually put that in your pocket. But the Switch, you're gonna have to put in a backpack. You're gonna have to put in a big case, a zip thing. Like, a laptop can do more than just play games. It seems it's so weird. It seems too big to actually be truly portable. It seems too small to have enough power to keep up with like the Xbox One or the PS4. It's not quite mobile enough. Like, the speakers on the little tablet part of the Switch aren't good enough to play in a loud setting like they say it could be. Everything is backwards. Like, they're saying one thing and then showing something else.
Like
And I think
all the
that's what.
examples you're, all the oh, I'm sorry, all the examples you're saying is like it's not enough to do what they're wanting the system to do.
Yeah. And it almost makes me feel like if the Wii U was a stepping stone to the Switch is a stepping stone to what they're really wanting to do. I just can't shake that feeling. Like, something's not right about this.
I don't know, man. We just gotta wait and see, I
Yeah, we
guess.
gotta see how it pans out. I mean, that's kind of how it is. I'm seeing if there's anything else on the, yeah, the whole thing
Well,
about pay to play
yeah, like,
online. I'm
yeah,
just
like you
baffled.
were saying earlier with Todd, Danny and Todd basically had their thoughts on
Yeah.
which, so I'm gonna read it off.
Yeah.
Danny says, thoughts from the announcement trailer. This is gonna be really sweet. Thoughts after the preview, kind of hesitant to buy it now. While Breath of the Wild looks absolutely amazing, I'm not sure if that alone will prompt me to buy one in the first year or two. Same thing with Skyrim. That was available on the PS3, PS4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One, and the PC. That won't really boost sales that much, all that much. But the hardware does look really impressive. I love the grab and go feel of it. It's definitely what they're trying to do with the Wii U. I hope they do better with the Switch. So that's what Danny says.
That's fair. That's all fair. I think that's correct about Skyrim. If you're the type of gamer that you wanted to play Skyrim, you would have played Skyrim by now. Period. Like, that's just how it is.
Yeah, that's true. Or maybe they'll get like a resurgence, like when you were streaming Skyrim, like all these people want to watch it for like, a pretty old game, but I guess people still want to watch it,
Right? Yeah.
right?
That's true.
So Todd says, and this is where you were coming from when he was mentioning, when it comes to the Switch, let me use a quote closely associated with P.T. Barnum. There's a sucker born every minute, end quote. Nintendo remains with their philosophy, we're fucking Nintendo. They will buy it. My only regret is not pre-ordering one, not because I want or need the console, but because others will. It's the same formula as most of their launches. Release it with a Mario or Zelda game, as you were saying, Watch the fans of those franchises mark out hard. Understock retailers so people think it's super in demand thing because it's of its rarity. When I work sales back between the Wii and Wii U launches, they delay shipments and limit our stock to seemingly keep demand up. They are doing the same with the NES Mini and soon to be released Switch. They will publicly say demand is so high that they can't meet expectations, which is total bullshit. As for the release lineup, I find it decent, but not worth it, especially when Zelda allegedly will use 40% of the system storage. All in all, it will go the same route as the other Nintendo products, such as the Virtual Boy and Wii U. And that is Todd.
I overall agree with his sentiment. Like, I think the Virtual Boy might be a little deep cut. Reach. Yeah, don't think it's that dire, but I think this is a repeat of the Wii U, essentially. Yeah. I think it's not going to have a huge part of market share. They're trying so hard to recapture the Wii, and they need to stop. Yeah. Like, they need to not do that. They need to move forward.
That ship sailed.
Yeah, exactly. Like, people had the Wii. They liked it. But the first thing you heard about people doing with the Wii is they had to buy an extra $100 worth of shitty accessories. Like, oh, I got to get the plastic thing that looks like a tennis racket to put my Wiimote in. That type of stuff. So I'm wondering if Nintendo Switch is going to go the same way. The only thing is, I just could never see myself taking it anywhere.
Yeah.
We're in that
day and age where, I mean, unless we still in our age still hang out with the friends that play video games in, like, you know, the close location that we're at.
Yeah.
We're not going to be doing that, in our like 30s and 35s and stuff like that. So
we're gonna chat online.
Other people still do that. Yeah, we're gonna chat online. Yeah. We're just gonna talk on Discord and
we're gonna play our games. And the thing is,
play our game
now.
That's it.
And the whole another reason why it just blows me away that they're wanting to charge for online. Nintendo's online is abysmal, and it's always been terrible. Mm-hmm. Half the time I can't play a match in Splatoon. I have my fucking Wii U right next to my router. Like, it just that drops. But the stuff that drives me crazy, and I think I talked about this either last week or the week before, like, Nintendo, your account purchases are tied to your hardware, not your account.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say I have a 3DS and I buy Pokemon. If my 3DS breaks and they send me a refurbished 3DS, it's a 50-50 shot. Either they'll send me a redemption code to re-download Pokemon, or I have to rebuy it.
Yeah.
It's not tied to your account.
Yeah.
It shows you purchased it, but you cannot re-download it like you could, let's say, on Xbox Live or PlayStation.
Yeah, it's tied to the system.
It's tied to the actual hardware, to the SKU number, that serial code. That's what it's tied to. You expect me to pay per fucking month to hope that my system doesn't break so I'd have to go rebuy all my games. Like, you got some nerve. You know what I'm saying? Like, that.
Yeah.
They're so far removed from reality when it comes to that. They need to get with it. Because if you're going to be charging something for a service, people expect things from that service. So, I know you probably see this a lot. I know I see it a lot. Every month, whenever you look at PlayStation Plus games, or you look at Xbox Live Gold, like, oh, what are the free games this month? And then people will say, like, oh, it's this game. Oh, that's shitty. It's what am I paying for? That's dumb. But, like, comparatively to what you're getting with the Switch, you're being treated like a king. Because imagine what those posts are going to be if the one virtual console game you get per month and then stripped access of is, like, Balloon Fight.
Yeah, balloon fight.
You know what I'm saying? Right. And you're like, well, that's a fucking wash.
Yeah.
Like, I think there is a little bit, and beforehand on Todd saying whenever, and you kind of said the same sentiment about like, fuck you, we're Nintendo. I never really felt that way about Nintendo until decisions like this. Like, yeah, you're going to pay for online and we're going to give you your game and then we're going to fucking take it away from you. How does it make you feel?
Yeah.
Like, that's how they're doing it now. And I'm like, they got to reassess this. I think, but here's my ultimate thing before we start wrapping up. I think my ultimate thing is, I think what's going to happen is, do you remember when the Xbox One was first announced and they said that it would not play used games?
Right.
And they said it was always online and it would always check to see if it was the new version of a game and it said all that stuff. And then they got such a wicked backlash that they changed all of it.
Yeah, they backed down.
I think that's what's going to happen with the play or with the pay online stuff. I bet the app and voice chat stuff will be free, but then the online, the actual like games and stuff, that's what you'll pay the $5 a month or whatever, or like online multiplayer.
All right.
And I think they're going to modify it. They have to.
They would have to. Yeah.
Because otherwise, Jesus, like,
I mean, I would pay for server stability and then like what's already accessible with voice chat and all right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
A good online and no lag type of thing.
Like, I don't mind paying because I pay yearly for PlayStation Plus and Xbox Live, and I don't even play online on those systems. I do it primarily for the game library. And then sometimes I'll go check out if there's any good sales on like console exclusive stuff.
Yeah.
But that's it. That's all I pay it for. It's the same thing. Like I pay for Amazon Prime because I might need something shipped to me in 2 days. And I keep my Netflix up because they might add something I want to watch. Like I don't mind paying for a service. Like I'm still paying for World of Warcraft. I have not logged into World of Warcraft in like 3 months, but hey, I'm paying for it. So I could log in right now if I wanted. Like, I have that mental perception that, yes, I will pay for a service if I know that at some point I'm going to use it.
Mm-hmm.
But the online infrastructure for Nintendo has always been so shit that I can't, in my good conscience, do that for that system. I mean, it's just their online store is very poorly put together, no matter where you're trying to access it from. Like whether it's the Wii U or if it's the 3DS or, even their past stuff, like it's still very archaic. Like you said, it's very rudimentary.
Yeah.
And they didn't even announce how much it would cost per month or like what the payment system would be. But I wouldn't, thank God it's free right now, because I wouldn't pay anything. I think I pay too much and it's free. So
yeah.
It's like, it's just not, I don't know. It's just, the whole thing's baffling. Like, I don't know what the goal of this system is. I don't know what they're going now. Are we just going to get a bunch of motion games again? Because they're doing 1-2 Switch and they're just going to do carnival games all the time? Or
Yeah.
Like, what are they? Are they just going to fucking phone it in? But then
they just need to make games. Like, not because the Joy-Con thing is not going to last.
Right. Yeah.
No.
Then you can buy a $10 sleeve to put your Joy-Con in.
Right.
Like, that's what it's going to be again. And it's going to be like, we've seen this song and dance before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what upsets me about it is this was the opportunity for Nintendo to be like, we are the major players in the game. We are changing the way you think about video games and home entertainment. But it didn't really do that. And if anything, it stepped backwards because now here's a system that does three things and it doesn't do any of them very well. So we'll see. Hopefully there's going to be that killer app, that kind of Platinum Games or, Capcom's going to make something killer for it or, I guess we'll see. But it doesn't provoke a lot of confidence whenever you have Sega and you have, Temco or whatever, saying like, We notice that the system has a lot of power and we're interested in using it. We will see you soon. Please be excited. You're like, oh, well, great. I guess some video games are being made for this thing.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we'll see. Like I said, I actually think it's going to do better than the Wii U. Globally, I think it will. There's more hype around it. It's just interesting enough. Like, what the hell is this thing that people would want to get their hands on it? But as far as like an actual functioning device that I would recommend to people that play video games, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really tell you.
I would say wait a year.
Oh, definitely would wait. I would definitely wait. I mean, because, I would wait. I mean, if I was going to go fully in, I'd probably get it when Mario comes around.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's personally me. But then again, like I said, the guy that made Yakuza came on stage, like, oh, not that I'm making a decision, but like, you got my attention, kind of.
Sure, yes.
But I need to see what you're making first.
Yeah, absolutely. Business is about to pick up, type of thing.
Yeah.
Like, we'll keep our eyes peeled and kind of see what's going on with this. But so there's a lot of interesting ideas. But how many games like Red Steel for the Wii, that shooter game? Like, great idea, kind of janky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are we gonna get 2 years of those until we start getting to the good stuff?
Before you get like your wonderful 101 or something.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, until you get the thing that you really bought this machine for. Because there's nothing yet. Yeah. There's no... Because your killer app of Zelda can be played on Wii U.
Dude, if Scalebound gets announced.
Oh, that fucking game.
Kimmy is like, we burned the bridge with Microsoft to put this game on the Switch.
Yeah.
I was like, what? That's a swerve.
That'd be an amazing swerve. That new Hideo Kojima game's only on the Switch.
Yeah, Ludens. Oh, man.
Death Stranding or whatever it's called.
Death Stranding is on there. Ludens.
Yep, Norman Reedus. Norman Reedus all on the Switch.
Yep. Oh, man. See? Oh,
that's crazy. I don't know, man. I have a weird feeling about it. Never before have I felt like they're trying to work people, but I'm starting to get a little bit of that from this. Like, they're selling a little bit of snake oil here, and I don't know if I appreciate it.
I mean, right now it doesn't look great, but if somehow the Switch or Nintendo can just make it look like they're the DDT Pro of the games industry.
Sure. Yeah.
You can. Yes.
Give me a game with the Joy controllers where I chop vegetables. Give me fucking, yes. Like, all the way in. Give me a thing to where I have to like lasso a bull with a rope. Give me something. Give me the dumbest shit you can think of, and I'll be all in.
But play against Yoshihiko.
Yes. Make a fighting game against Yoshihiko. Have Jimmy Hart be the commentator. I was thinking about my Jimmy Hart impression, and it's not so much a Jimmy Hart impression. It's more of the deaf, oiled-up guy from Family Guy.
Okay.
I'm going to get you. Like, that's sort of the...
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Pepperidge Farm. But, oh, man, I think that's it for this week.
Yeah.
I think that's the show.
Yeah, man.
A lot
of talk about Switch.
Yep.
Who our boys are.
Yeah, the boys. I think the boys made up for it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Boys need to. The boys should be on the press conference. Like, they should call out and be like, "Here comes Kerwin White to tell you all about all about Super Mario Odyssey."
Here's Bastion Booger announcing the new Booger Man video game.
The Headbangers. We're gonna cut over to the Headbangers
announcing Rockman.
Now let's switch over to Coco Beware.
Coco Beware. with the new Duck Hunt.
That's, oh man, yeah, a super high fidelity, like slightly terrifying Duck Hunt. Yeah. Very high def, dude. Like, oh my god, terrifying.
4K,
4K resolution. You can see the sweat beads on the duck's bill as it looks in terror at your gun pointing at its face.
You can definitely take a look at the high fidelity of the douchebag dog.
Yeah, as he's like snickering in the background.
Yeah.
His fur is so realistic. It's like the glistening snow in Skyrim.
Why are you back?
The most real.
The most real.
Oh, my God. Oh, the Switch is real. We'll see how it goes. Send us what your thoughts on the Switch are. We'll read them next time. Let us know who your boys are. We'll read those next time, too, kind of following up. My name is Wes Gardner, Mr. Commie Da Hobo. You can find me at commiedahobo.com and at twitter.com/commiedahobo. And that's Mr. Nerd in the Bay, Marco Flores. You can hit him up on Twitter, twitter.com/MarcoPolo177, twitter.com/Nerd in the Bay. If you go to commiedahobo.com, you can check out the Discord that we're all hanging out at.
Where all these responses and replies came from.
Yeah, man, absolutely. So, if you're on the Discord, you let us know some stuff on there. We'll read it on the show.
Yeah, engaging. Thanks.
Big shout out again to our sponsors over there at Audible.
Mm-hmm.
At audibletrial.com/brotheronaround.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely. Get that free book. Tell them your bros sent you.
It's not $80.
It's absolutely free. You don't need to get it. You know how much your re-download of the book that you own is? Fucking free. As it should be. As it should be. Because Audible knows what's up.
Yep.
Audible knows what's up, man. They're brothers. Good brothers over there at Audible. But hey, we'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Peace, guys.